The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm still off balance from all this new choreography, so you'll excuse accidents that I do.
Jeremiah was a prophet in Judah in the years just before Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, swept in and conquered Judah and all the surrounding nations along with it. And in those days, God gave Jeremiah a strange command. He told Jeremiah to make yoke bars and straps for himself and to fasten them on his own neck. And wearing that yoke, as a sign, Jeremiah was to go to Jerusalem and to speak to King Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and to the ambassadors of the kings of all the surrounding nations on God's behalf. And this is what God commanded Jeremiah to say to those leaders of the people. "I am the God who created everything by my power. I give my power to whomever I choose, and I have given all your lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. If you refuse to bow your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, you will be destroyed by famine and pestilence and the sword. So don't listen to your prophets and your diviners and your soothsayers who are going to say to you, 'Do not bow under the yoke of Babylon.' Don't pay any attention to them because they are lying to you. But if you do bow your neck under the yoke of Babylon, I promise you," said God, "you will stay in your own land and you will dwell there." Of course, human nature being what it is, Zedekiah and the kings of Ammon and Moab and Edom and Tyre and Sidon all went back and listened to their prophets and their diviners and their soothsayers, and they made a stand against Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, God being who he is, Nebuchadnezzar swept in and crushed every one of those countries, just as God had told Jeremiah, and they all ended up in servitude to the king of Babylon, under the yoke of Babylon, as God had told them they would be. All through biblical and rabbinic literature, a yoke was a symbol of submission. to the rule of a greater power. The ancient rabbis taught that a Jew should be free of all servitude to man in order that he might devote himself to the service of God. And so in rabbinic theology, they put it this way: whoever takes upon himself the yoke of the Torah, they remove from him the yoke of government and the yoke of worldly concerns. And whoever breaks off the yoke of the Torah, they place on him the yoke of government and the yoke of worldly concerns. The Torah is a Hebrew scripture that contains all the commandments and all the regulations of the law of Moses. So what the rabbis were saying was that any man who desired to be free from submission to worldly concerns, all worldly concerns, has to obey and submit to all the commandments set forth by God in the law. So, why am I talking about Jeremiah and the ancient rabbis when they weren't in our readings at all today? The connection, you probably figured out easily, is the yoke that Jesus talks about in our gospel reading today. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, when I read about a yoke, when I hear that word, what I picture is a wooden bar with straps that binds two animals together, two oxen or two horses. So their strengths are combined and they're able to pull heavier loads and bear heavier burdens than just one animal could bear by itself. And that is a terrific sermon illustration, right? Especially if we imagine Jesus as our yoke fellow, then we can listen to the words that Paul wrote when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And that's a true thing. The thing is, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. When Jesus invited people to take his yoke upon them, he's speaking as a Jew, and the people listening were also Jews. It would have been clear that what Jesus is meaning is a yoke of servitude, a yoke of submission. When Jesus is calling us in these verses that we love so much, he's calling us weary, heavy laden people that we are. He's not inviting us here to be his co-workers. He does that in other places, in John notably. But here, he's inviting us to lay down or to break off all the yokes of all the other powers that we are serving and to put on his yoke, only his yoke. Jesus is calling us to serve him and him alone as our master and our Lord and our King. We're under the dominion of so many powers in this world, powers that use us, powers that abuse us and crush us under the load of their demands. We bear the yoke of our society, that yoke of obedience to the law with all its regulations, maybe more subtly but equally demanding, the yoke of loyalty, what we sometimes call patriotism. We bear the yoke of our culture, the yoke of social expectations, all those demands of what we're supposed to look like, who we're supposed to associate with, how much we're supposed to earn, what degrees we're supposed to attain to, how far we're supposed to rise in our careers. And then we who are church people, we bear the yoke of religious demands, all those things we are or not supposed to do, or say, or enjoy, or wear, if we really want to be good Christians. And then very often, all too often, people find themselves crushed under the yoke of human demands, especially people in unhealthy marriages or other unhealthy human relationships. But there's where we hear the words of Zechariah today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here we are, crushed under the burden of so many powers and so many authorities, and we hear the voice of the prophet who proclaims the coming of the one and only true power, the one and only true authority, and he comes, the prophet tells us, in gentleness, in peace, to bring an end to all warfare. He shall command peace to the nations. And goodness knows we are in need of peace right now. We're in need of peace between nations and the world, between people in our nation. The very first warfare that is abolished by our gentle king is the warfare between God and this rebellious people that he loves. But he also abolishes the warfare that's inside us, inside our own hearts, that exhausting struggle for power that Paul is describing in Romans today. I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, Paul wrote, but then I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Now, Paul grew up bearing the yoke of servitude to the law. He sincerely desired to obey to the full all the commandments and all the regulations of God. He put himself under the authority of the law to please God by everything he did and said. And then he discovered at the same time that he was staggering under the weight of another yoke, the yoke of his own sinful desires, his own inclinations. And he was utterly unable to free himself from the rule of his own sin. We can all relate to that, right? Because of all the powers and authorities that crush us under the weight of their demands, there are not very many that are as relentlessly domineering as our own sinful habits and our own selfishness and our appetites and our fears. And so in that reading from Romans today, we hear Paul crying out in the midst of this warfare that waits right inside him. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And the answer comes from Jesus, who calls out, come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation is not here for us to do his work. Here the invitation is for us to make Jesus the only Lord and Master and King of our hearts and of our minds and of our lives. Because it's only under the yoke of Jesus that we will ever find real freedom. St. Augustine has a wonderful prayer. It goes, Eternal God, who are the light of the minds that know you, the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you, grant us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may fully serve you, whom to serve is perfect freedom. In Jesus Christ our Lord. And the collect for peace and morning prayer that we pray every week says, O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life and to serve you is perfect freedom. There is no other power and authority under which we find freedom rather than oppression, in which we find peace rather than conflict, in which we find joy rather than utter weariness. Only under the yoke of Jesus Christ, who is the God of love, do we find the abundant life that we were created to have, because we are beings who were created by love, in love, and for love. His yoke is easy because his burden is love. Owe no one anything, Paul wrote, except to love one another, because love fulfills the whole law. And Jesus tells us, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. All men will know that you're my disciples, that you're my people, if you love one another. And John writes, dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. His yoke is love, and under that yoke we find rest for our souls. to find perfect freedom. But taking on the yoke of Christ means, of course, casting off every other yoke, denying every other authority, refusing allegiance to every other power, which is not easy. And it's also why Christians have often been seen as a threat to a lot of other worldly rulers and authorities, because worldly authority doesn't like competition. Christians have bumped heads or worse with the powers that be time and time again throughout the centuries. The apostles found themselves thrown in prison over and over again for preaching about Jesus. But their respectful reply to the authorities was always this: we must obey God rather than men. In 2017, some of Christ's followers were arrested for gathering together to read verses on God's love for the poor in the Capitol building as Congress voted on an economic bill that was seen to favor the rich. Last year, some Christians, along with non-Christians, defied authorities by bringing food and water to asylum seekers who were risking their lives in a search for a safe place to live. Those were controversial choices to make. They all ended up in jail, and some Christians would not have approved of those choices, but those people were acting in the freedom of their faith to the best of their understanding. They were bearing the yoke of Christ. So this weekend, as we celebrate our National Day of Independence, as we give thanks for living in a nation whose founders declared freedom to be a basic human right, it's a perfect time for each of us to evaluate our own lives, our own choices, our own allegiances. Whose yoke do you bear? If you are weary, if you feel yourself heavy laden in this confusing and dangerous season of this world, know this: the voice of Jesus Christ invites you to lay down every other yoke of authority, including your own authority, which might be the hardest one to lay down, and to take his yoke alone, and you will find rest for your souls.